Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Jaguars postgame after the Buccaneers beat the Jaguars in week 5. 38-31 the final down at Raymond James Stadium. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor is with us on the line down in South Florida. Joins us now. Good afternoon, Fred.
JP, Mike, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Freddie.
Okay, besides the outcome today, the defense got run over today by Doug Martin. Winston picked his spots, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come out of there with a 38-31 win. But this is the Doug Martin game, Fred.
No doubt about it. After the performance Winston displayed last week, JP, I mean, there's a high percentage that they were going to come out and, you know, try and pound the ball and take the ball out of Winston's hand or either just make it manageable. You know, a few checkdowns here and there, which what he did great today as well. And he hit his few long throws that they allowed him to have. But Martin ran hard. He was a beast. I'm not sure if he just ran great and they blocked well up front or if that was us really missing pause today. Because we didn't get any push. It was just all bad. Missed tackles. Just all bad.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, Fred, in part. I mean, both things here. But clearly Paul Posluszny's presence was missed on this defense today. And Telvin Smith was amped up, made a couple of plays early, but looked like he was chasing ball carriers for most of the afternoon, as were the rest of the Jags. And not only that, but, you know, hitting Martin out of the backfield on dump downs and Charles Sims with a near backbreaker catching that long one that flipped the field on third down was big too.
Right. We didn't do well on third down, and it was Sims. Now, he had a few big third down plays. It was third and six. He had 11-yarder. Third and 15, he had a 56-yarder. And then at the very end of the game, third and five, had an opportunity to get them off the field. He converted for a 12-yard short check down there. Got to play better. Got to tackle. You got to – the field position. That came back, and that really stunk things up a little bit today for the guys. Just the average field position start. So these ugly games like this, they don't look good for your team. The sacks, just a whole lot of things, man. We weren't able to come back from. Tampa deserved the win today. They play hard. When you play hard, you get breaks like that.
And Fred, I'm curious how you think Blake Bortles played today. Certainly the numbers, if you just look at the final numbers, 4 touchdowns, over 300 yards, only 1 turnover, the 1 interception there, pretty good. But he also missed Allen Robinson on a couple of deep balls that might have gone for long touchdowns, and he overthrew them on those and threw another near interception that would have gone for a pick six late in the football game. Overall, how did you see his performance today?
You know, Mike, early on, I thought he was decisive. He came out quick. The release, it seemed like the release was quick. You know, I hit a few early throws early, right until that interception, and then the overthrow to Robinson. Other than that, I thought he was quick, decisive. I thought he looked great on the move. He was able to extend a few plays moving around, as well as the 22-yard scramble. When he threw the interception, I thought the decisiveness went away, because Allen Robinson was wide open in the middle of the field, as opposed to going outside to Mercedes, the tight end, to throw the interception. And then the other overthrow late in the game. So I don't think Blake, as competitive as he is, he would tell you that today wasn't Blake-like or part of his maturation process that we've seen him improving throughout this year. It wasn't a good performance at all, I don't think. The numbers, a little bit, misscrewed or whatever, but I just think that he didn't perform well today.
Final score 38-31, Buccaneers over the Jags. The Bucs are now 2-3. The Jags fall to 1-4. We're standing by. We'll have the first word with Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff Loggeman is just outside of the Jags locker room at Raymond James Stadium. You mentioned the turnovers, the interception by McDougald, and then the Martin 1-yard run off of that. The fumble return for a touchdown was key. So, I mean, that's 15 points right away off direct turnovers there. And then that long punt return.
To the 17, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that really turned
that,
things around.
JP, sorry for jumping in like that. Another punt return, 25-yard, that they started on the Jags side of the 40. It's just so much. You can't play like this. You can't start slow, and then you can't give up that field position. It's just a chess match throughout the day. The turnovers, the sacks, you know, those things, you'll never win a game that way.
Fred, I thought Devon House played pretty well today, and then, of course, he goes out with what looked to be a hip injury. And that's the thing. The Jags had guys in and out in the secondary. Just as soon as they get a couple of guys back, it seems like they lose somebody else.
It's unfortunate, Mike. It's unfortunate. As I always say, and I think I'm accustomed to it because of my 13-year career, you know, it's next man up. You know, it was some years there where we thought we had some pretty good players ready to go out, and then you have a few injuries and you're trying to shuffle guys in there, and then the cohesiveness and the chemistry just isn't the same. I mean, some guys, they're used to looking over to the right and having that guy right next to him, you know, and I'm pretty sure today the defensive line, you know, they're used to hearing, Puzz get the calls out to them. And Telvin used to looking over to his right, knowing his leverage, you know, where to run. So it's frustrating to have guys in and out of the lineup. You can't get that, you know, that solid chemistry that you need to be a championship caliber team.
Fred, I know the game just ended a few minutes ago, but we're going to hear from Gus Bradley momentarily here. What, as a former player, would you like to hear Gus Bradley say today?
You know, I would like to hear Gus say what you saw a little bit of in the fourth quarter there. You know, down 14, it's about less than four minutes to go, and they were fighting. You know, and I think that's Gus, and I'm pretty sure he's in there saying, look, guys, let's continue to fight. You know, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't our style. Right there on the broadcast, he even mentioned that we're built to stop the run. You know, so he's going to go in there and say, guys, we fought. We didn't fight hard enough, but we got to keep fighting, got to keep grinding. We're going to make our corrections. We're going to stop the run. Because everything goes through stopping the run. And if you don't stop the run, and if you don't get pressure, you won't win. And he's going to be honest to him, as he always is. So those guys got to look at the film, and they got to come back and say, we got our butts kicked out there today in the run game. On the offensive line side, the offensive line got their butts handled as well. So it was a battle of up front. And Tampa came out, and they were physical down in Tampa today. And that's what it came down to, being physical. And Gus is going to say, guys, we got to get our physical presence back felt around this league, or, you know, guys are going to just come in and run over us, or think they can run over us.
We'll hear from Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley coming up. Jeff Loggeman standing outside of the Jags locker room down in Tampa Bay after the 38-31 Buccaneers win over the Jaguars. We'll look forward just briefly here, Fred. You got to come back home, first time in a while. You get the Houston Texans here at home, and a game you got to get next week now.
Most definitely. Divisional game, you got to win it. You've dropped three. You know, you play Indy well, and Indy barely, you know, they had a dogfight against the Texans there. So, I mean, if nothing else, that should motivate you. You're back in front of your home crowd. You know, they want to support you. They want to see you get back on track. So the guys got to keep on, chugging away, man, and try to find a way to put together a win.
What do you think about the running game today, Fred? T.J. Yeldon scored a touchdown, but that was on a short pass. He caught 5 for 31 today, but didn't seem like there are a ton of holes once again for the running game.
No, the running game was non-existent. You know, a lot of what the Jags are good at, they didn't get an opportunity to get to that. I didn't see a lot of play action. You know, roll out bootlegs outside the pocket. I didn't see a lot of that by design, and that usually comes as the running game goes. And the 3.2 yards per carry, 17 attempts, I mean, that's not nearly enough to have the type of balance you want to have in order to win a game. So back to the drawing boards. I think he has to play better. And I hate to call guys out, but I do apologize for it, but I think he does have to play a little bit better up front. As well as all the guys across the board, but they just got to find a way to get it done. It's no way around it. Got to get the running game going.
J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor with us on the line from South Florida after the Jags fall in Tampa in Week 5, 38-31. Still standing by for Jeff Loggeman. He is waiting the first word with the Jaguars head coach. He'll be inside the Jaguars locker room. Tough place today, though. The Jags fought towards the end, couldn't get it done today. 38-31, the turnovers costly. The big punt return earlier in the game proved costly a little later as well. You mentioned earlier, Fred, that let's go. Actually, we'll come back to you, Fred, in just a moment. Let's go to Tampa now. Jeff Loggeman with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff.
All right, JP, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Got you,
okay,
Jeff.
I just want to make sure. I know we have a little issue with the signal in here in the locker room and here with the head coach, Gus Bradley. And, Gus, sure you're disappointed. You have offense that has a couple turnovers that lead to the Tampa Bay points, special teams play that lead to positive field position, and a defense that doesn't have a lot of success against Doug Martin.
I don't know where to start. This one's painful because, going into it felt like we were prepared, but obviously we weren't. And it's about accountability. And players and coaches, we got to take responsibility for what took place on that field. And there's no one else's fault but ours. Our fans, great showing. I don't know how many were there from start to finish. And I know our fans heard as well. And I think we all got to look in the mirror in this locker room and figure this out.
Paul Posluszny not available in today's game. Doug Martin has a big day. Did it have that much of an impact?
Well, it did. But we had other guys that had opportunities too. There's just a variety of errors. Without going into too much detail, it just felt like I saw some substitution errors, some wrong close calls, some guys not getting lined up properly, missed tackles, guys that normally make plays, didn't make plays. So just a wide variety of things. I mean, 183 yards, 4.6, explosive play on the pass for every completion. I mean, that's not us. And then, special teams too with the punt returns. Over what, 28 yards per return? We got a lot of things we had to clean up.
All right, Gus, any injury status to report? Have you had a chance to meet with the medical staff?
No, I haven't yet. Okay.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot. Jeff Loggeman with head coach Gus Bradley. We'll come back in a moment. Jeff inside the locker room in Tampa. Final score, an unhappy final today. Buccaneers 38, Jaguars 31. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey in just a moment. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Final score in Tampa, the Buccaneers 38, Jaguars 31. We go back in the locker room at Raymond James Stadium. Jeff Loggeman has quarterback Blake Bortles. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Blake, got to be disappointing. A career-high 4 touchdown passes for you personally today, but victory continues to evade this football team.
Yeah, it does. It's definitely frustrating. I thought guys, battle till the end. I thought guys played their tails off and did some good things. So, it's about the little things and the attention to detail and the things we still got to clean up and able to win ball games.
How do you get the little things cleaned up? Last week you had illegal formation on offense. You have it again this week. Last week you have 12 men on the field on defense. This week you have the same thing again. How does that end?
Yeah, it was a big emphasis this week. Gus made a big point about it. I think guys did a really good job in practice. And I think, we come out here and guys do a really good job again. It's just a little mental error here or there that kind of kills us. So we got to find a way to eliminate that. How, I don't know. I think continuing trying to practice good habits and hopefully that gets it.
A lot of Jaguar fans in the stands today. A lot of people made the trip here. Probably has to add to a little bit of that disappointment.
Yeah. You never want to let the fans down. Unbelievable outcome and showing of them coming over here. I thought that was awesome. That makes you feel good as a player to have your fans travel and come watch you play. And we never want to let them down. So, yeah, it definitely adds to it.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Thanks.
Jeff Loggeman with Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor with us on the line down in South Florida. Obviously a disappointed quarterback there, Fred. But where do you begin? Like we said a moment ago, where do you start with the self-inflicted wounds there? It happened last week, a couple of instances. Happened again this week, the 12 men on the field, the illegal formations. How do you start to clean that up?
You know what? I thought they cleaned it up. I think they went from 13 to 3. This week, so that's an improvement. That's a huge improvement, and these penalties weren't costly like a few of the penalties a week ago. The field position, the special team play, the turnovers, giving Tampa the amazing field position. That was the stuff that you want to try and clean up, and that comes through preparation, as Gus said. He thought they were prepared. They didn't make the play. The missed tackles, guys having an opportunity, you know, the guys making errors. It's real frustrating from a head coach. I know the quarterback, you know, he's out there doing his best and trying his hardest. Now, I love Blake. I wouldn't want to go to battle with anyone else. I love his fiery competitiveness out there. You got to get the guys to be accountable, believe in each other, you know, not take it lightly, get back to, you know, to the classroom, study a little harder. You know, I won't say practice a little harder, but practice smarter. You know, we're at the point in the season where you should be at the point where you're practicing smarter. The conditioning is set. You know, the physicalities are set. The injuries are starting to mount. So you have to practice smarter. And in turn, on game day, execute those plays. So the real way, JP, to clean this all up is to get a win. We can say everything else in the world. You have to win on Sunday. That's the only thing you have to do.
That means next week's game is big against the Houston Texans. We'll come back in a moment with the lightning fast questions for Freddie T. Final score in Tampa, 38-31. The Bucks over the Jaguars. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. The final score in Tampa, 38-31. Buccaneers over the Jags in week 5. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor on the line with us from South Florida. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores right on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. And it's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Fred, here we go. Number one, the word from Gus Bradley that it was painful. It was a different sounding Gus than we've heard in a post game. Where's his emotion right now?
You know what? I think this is his most frustrating loss. I mean, a combination of thing that goes in there, his old team, his foundation, what he stands for as a coach, stopping the run. It looks as if the defense were out physical. It's a combination, as you said, the errors there, a few other things. So it sounded like it was his most frustrating loss, but he's determined to get it right.
Fred, question number two. What was the primary culprit today in the Jags giving up so much to Doug Martin and Charles Sims?
You know, as they said, not having their leader there on defense, Pozlesny. I mean, a few errors, few guys, you know, out of their gap, the gap integrity, missed tackles. So they can clean those things up, but they got to clean it up quick. Arian Foster's coming to town.
Question number three, yes. What's the biggest area to improve for this team as a whole before next week against Houston?
I think as a whole, JP, you want to make sure you minimize the mental errors. You have a lot of young guys out there playing, brand-new group of guys out there here and there. So you want to try and get your consistency in making sure you're doing as the coaches call and you're not busting on assignments.
The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions and Answers of the Game from Fred Taylor, 38-31 final. Tampa Bay a winner over Jacksonville in Week 5. We'll come back in a moment with the highlights from today's game. I guess you could call them that. I don't know. It depends on what side you're on today. Tampa Bay a winner. The Buccaneers over the Jaguars down at Raymond James Stadium a little later. An Everbank final stats check as well. 38-31. Jaguars postgame continues in a moment on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score in Tampa, 38-31. The Buccaneers are now 2-3. The Jags fall to 1-4 in the losing effort today down at Raymond James Stadium. Let's take a listen to the highlights from today's game. We'll also choose a Bud Light play of the game. We'll start out. Well, the Buccaneers had an early field goal. Their opening drive, 35-yarder for Barth, 3-0 Tampa Bay. Jags go 3-and-out in their opening drive, but Tampa Bay is forced to punt. The Jags drive down the field, 10 plays, 78 yards, ends on a Bortles to Hearns touchdown.
Shotgun for Bortles, 4-man front for the Buccaneers. Dropping is Bortles. Looking. He steps up, fires into the end zone for Allen Hurd. Touchdown, Jacksonville! On a slant pattern, Bortles to Hearns for the touchdown.
7-3 Jaguars. Barth hits a 45-yard field goal for Tampa, makes it a 7-6 ball game. The Jags go three and out. On that punt, it was returned 58 yards by Rainey to the 17-yard line, set up a very short field. It ends on a Winston to a Martin touchdown pass of 10 yards.
Martin, the running back, slots to either side. Winston under center, dropping, wants to throw it into the end zone. No, he doesn't. He dumps off instead. Dumps it to Martin. Martin is going to get it into the end zone. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. He checked it down to Martin after looking into the end zone, and Doug did the rest on his own. It's a touchdown for the Buccaneers.
13-7 Bucks at that point. Next drive, Bortles on the field leading the Jags offense. He's intercepted by McDougal.
Hearns motions to the right, so now there's two to the right. Dropping is Blake. Fires it out to the left side and is intercepted. He underthrew Mercedes Lewis. It was picked off. Bradley McDougal, I believe, got it. It'll be a first down for Tampa Bay in Jaguars territory near the 42-yard line.
Another short field and off a turnover. A few plays later, Martin from a yard away makes it 20-7.
Second and goal from the 1-yard line of Jacksonville. Three tight ends at I formation for the Bucs. The give is to Martin, running to the right, cuts it in there, touchdown Tampa Bay. A 1-yard touchdown run for Doug Martin, and the Bucs are on the scoreboard again.
Best Bortles situation, though, at least early in his career, has been two-minute situations. Late in the half, late in the game. Well, this was late in the first half. Seven plays, 78 yards in a minute, 50 seconds, and a two-minute drill to get a touchdown and keep the Jags in it.
Two receivers to the right are Hearns and Walters. Shotgun for Bortles. Second and 10. He drops. Fires into the end zone. That is going to be a catch for a touchdown. Allen Robinson. Touchdown Jaguars, and Bortles took him right down the field.
20-14, the Bucs led at halftime. The Jaguars come out in the second half with a 31-yard field goal from Myers, 20-17. A punt from Tampa Bay gives the Jags the ball back. They drive down the field. Six plays, 61 yards. Bortles, on what really was a broken situation rolling left, finds Yeldon in the back of the end zone. It's his first NFL touchdown.
Shotgun for Bortles. Yeldon, the running back, dropping. Bortles looks, pump fakes. Pump fakes again, rolls left now. Gets away from a defender, fires to the back of the end zone. That is going to be caught for the touchdown. T.J. Yeldon in the back of the end zone, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
24-20 after the extra point. Barth hit a field goal, so 24-23, Jaguars led. Next drive for the Jags. Offense goes horribly wrong on first down, a toss sweep to a rookie running back, and it goes the other way for Tampa Bay.
With 24 seconds to play in the third quarter, leading by a point. Under center is Bortles. Toss left to Grant. He fumbled. The ball is on the ground. Grant has fumbled it. There's nothing but Buccaneers around it, and they are going to recover it and walk into the end zone. Grant fumbled. The Buccaneers picked it up and scored, and just like that, Tampa Bay has taken the lead.
That's the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. That really kind of turned things. It told the story of the game. The points off turnover is big today. A couple of drives later for Tampa Bay, Martin again from 1 yard out, made it 38-24. The Jags do keep fighting, though. They score a touchdown late in the game. Bortles to A-Rob, and on that drive, there was a long reception by Hearns to get him into position. Bortles to Allen Robinson from 5 yards.
Shotgun to Bortles. Blake fires to the right side. Wants Allen Robinson in the right corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Uh-oh. Don't turn off the radio yet.
38-31, Jags unable to get the onside kick. And the final score in Tampa in week 5. Buccaneers 38, Jaguars 31. The Jags are home next week against the Houston Texans, a game they certainly need here in the AFC South. We'll come back in a moment and take a look at the Everbank final stats check. Also, the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game coming up a little later. Buccaneers are now 2-3 after a 38-31 win over the Jaguars, who fall to 1-4. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah and Farrah, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor with us on the line down in South Florida after the Jags fall in week 5. 38-31, Buccaneers over the Jaguars. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses in Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. And it's time now, guys, for our Everbank final stats check. Team yardage today, total net yards, the Bucks outgained the Jags 369 to 325. Rushing yards today, this really told the tale. 183 yards on the ground for the Buccaneers today. The Jags had 55 rushing yards in this game. Passing, the Jags gained them through the air 270 to 186. But, the big statistic, of course, Fred, is that run game. We've talked about it already in this post-game show. But when you got 183 to 55, that's usually not a losing effort if you're the Buccaneers.
Of course not. I mean, you have to bend somewhere, and I think their passing game, they didn't really need to pass the ball. So naturally, the passing statistic isn't going to be as great as the team on the other side that's trying to play catch-up.
Yeah, and for the Jags, they did need to pass the ball today, and for the most part, passed it well. 23 out of 33 for Blake Bortles, 303 yards, the four touchdowns, although he missed Allen Robinson deep on a couple of balls. It looked like he was wide open, and also missed on consecutive plays Julius Thomas and Robinson on plays they would have scored on in the red zone. They settled for a short field goal on that drive as well, but he had the four TDs, the one interception, also added a 21-yard scramble to that. T.J. Yeldon, 11 carries for only 32 yards, although he did catch five out of the backfield for 31, including one of those four scoring tosses. Two of those went to Allen Robinson, 7 for 72 for Robinson with the two touchdowns. Allen Hurns matched last week's career high with 116 yards, five receptions, and a touchdown, including in that a 59-yard catch and run late in the ball game to put him back in scoring position and give him another opportunity to get some points on the board. They were able to convert that touchdown there. Telvin Smith on the day, 13 solo tackles and one touchdown. It just seemed like too many of them were being made downfield, you know, just not moving towards the line of scrimmage. Had his share of those. Arm Brister had five tackles filling in for Puz Lesney. Aaron Colvin with a sack. Roy Miller with a sack as well in the game, but ultimately not enough pressure. And Jameis Winston only needed to drop back and throw 19 times today, completed 13 of those, and several of them of the dump off variety. You know, Vincent Jackson really a non-factor with the exception of the two-point conversion today, but still the Bucs able to put up 38 points.
Fred, where do you start on defense today? We heard the name Roy Miller there, and it looked like he had a little bit of push in the middle today. Telvin Smith making those tackles down the field a bit. But, hey, you know, when they're running like that, it doesn't matter where you tackle them, right? I mean,
right, it doesn't matter. You know, even on my notes here, I thought that Tyson was getting upfield, and I thought even in the pass game, he was, getting upfield with a little pressure there. But, you know, the guy's got to be sound. If one guy is out of position, it can affect the entire defense. And Tampa didn't do a whole lot of fancy runs by design. They looked pretty much up the middle when I saw them running down the field. So, the guys just got to realize that different guys are in each and every week. The consistency, as the coaching staff would want it, it's not there. And the guys just have to play a little bit more above the X's and O's to try and make it happen. And so they can get some real cohesiveness out of that unit.
We'll come back in a moment and choose a Safe Touch Security player of the game. The Jags fall in Week 5. 38-31 Buccaneers over the Jaguars down in Tampa. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues after a Week 5 loss to the Jags in Tampa, 38-31 the final. Jags are now 1-4. They'll come back home next week and face the Houston Texans. Time now for the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game voting, and here's how it works, of course. Fred Taylor gets a vote and a half because he's Fred Taylor. Mike Dempsey and I get a vote each. So if there's three different votes, then Fred has the trump card there. So, Fred, with that in mind, go ahead, and who's your player of the game today?
Do I have to start? Didn't I start last week, guys?
Well, you were right last week.
I'll go first if you want
me to. You know, I mean, I need a few more seconds.
All right, you think about it.
Rabbit out there.
Okay, well, I don't know who JP is going to vote for, but we want to make sure Fred's vote counts.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah. In case we vote for the same guy, we don't want to trump Fred. I'm going to vote for Allen Hurns here. And there are a number of ways we could have gone here. I don't think anybody on defense stood out enough, although I do think Devon House played pretty well today when he was in there. But the five catches, I understand Robinson had the two touchdowns, but it's something about Hearns making the tough plays when you need him the most. And, I mean, he caught that ball, broke a tackle, ran for 59 yards, scored the touchdown. I mean, this guy, they kept saying during the broadcast, Fred, that we need more of him. I don't know where you find more of him, but they certainly could use more of what Allen Robinson brings to the table. So that's my vote. All right, Allen Hearns, excuse me.
Fred, who you got?
I can go if you want me to. On my seat here, Mike, I got Hearns. Keeps fighting, hustling. But I'm going to have to go on defense. I'm going to go with Telvin Smith. You know, I really like this play today. He lost his, you know, his main man to the right, left, in the middle of him, and Podlazny. But he's still out there grinding away, you know. And I just like his hustle. I like his energy. He flies around. He's all over the place. So I want to go with Smith today.
Well, I guess that comes down to me then, doesn't it?
It's all on you,
Fred.
JP.
No pressure here. But, hey, it's got to go Hearns today, right? I mean, 5 for 116. Robinson had a chance. There were a few deep balls there that probably right. could have been at some point brought in.
I don't know if that first one's on him or not.
But
you know,
still, there's a couple of diving situations where you think, hey, if you stay on your feet, maybe you have a better chance,
yeah.
that kind of thing. And, I mean, Blake Bortles, 300-yard gain, 4 touchdowns. In the end, though, just not enough. But I have something. I can't go defense today, Fred. I can't do it.
You know, well, JP, I'm with you guys on that, and I do like the way I like the performance that Hearns displayed today, and I understand why you would say you can't go defense. And looking at it, I was like, whoa, Freddie, maybe you shouldn't have went defense. But I mean, just looking at the game, he's all over the place. I don't know what errors he made, if any, or whatever. But I mean, I'm looking at the hustle. Hearns, the one big catch there, the 59-yarder. He stayed with the play, and he deserves that. These guys, Telvin, he's all over the place, and he's steady and he's consistent every week. And Hearns is making himself a household name as well, and he has been a bright spot on the offense. A defense that's been banged up, guys in and out. Telvin, he's still, that motor's still going. So I mean, you guys, Hearns deserve it today. He really deserves it today. But I'm going to just say I like the way Telvin was out there today, just passionate, running around, flying around, until the tape comes out and someone says otherwise about Harris. If he didn't play well, he'd been out jump shipped in. But right now I thought he did okay.
We're going to find out. We'll probably find out Hearns missed 3 key blocks, right?
Yeah,
and then
sure.
we'll look bad tomorrow, Fred. But
which blocks?
I don't want to leave the impression that I thought Allen Robinson played poorly today, by the way. He did score 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he did, even if he maybe could have kept his feet, we don't know if he holds that one in or not. The bottom line is those 2 plays, that one early and the other one later, he got open behind the secondary, and it looked
right.
like there was nobody was going to catch him if Blake can drop that ball in there, Fred. And that's the throw, I think, coming into the year that we really loved about Blake Bortles, that bucket throw where he dropped it over the top into a small area. And he's missed on a number of those this year so far.
Yeah, and you know, he'll keep. I'm sure he'll keep working at it.
I'm sure
you know,
he will.
The exciting thing is to see the young guys that are getting behind the secondary. You know, 2 years ago, you're like, man, who's out there? Who are they going to throw the ball to? But now you have young receivers that can get it done. They can get back there. They can do the jump balls. They can do the behind the shoulder passes. They're catching on the sidelines, showing the athleticism. I mean, so the pieces of the puzzle are there. You just got to get him to stick and not fly away, fly away. And you just got to keep grinding away, man. Still a long season. Good thing is those guys are a unit. They're all young. So they should be with each other for a number of years. Just got to keep grinding away. Keep grinding at it.
All right. So the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game, We outvoted Fred today. It's Alan Hearns, but an honorable mention.
I mean, I do understand you guys are feeling sorry for UM. I heard you were on the cover.
I'm not feeling sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him, Fred. I feel no sympathy whatsoever. For the record. Geez.
Isn't this Gator Nation? Let's.
No,
not in this room, buddy.
No, not at all.
Long distance Gator Nation today.
We'll come back.
I mean, not on this show. But.
No, not at all. We'll come back in a moment with the Baptist Health Injury Report. A few guys nicked up today. Jaguars fall in Tampa. 38-31 to the Buccaneers. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor down in South Florida after the Jags fall 38-31 to the Buccaneers in Week 5. Time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Well, a few guys on the list today, Fred, starting with a couple of running backs. T.J. Yeldon with a groin injury. Bernard Pierce with a hamstring injury. Both of those guys were out of the game, so Corey Grant had some time later. Toby Gerhardt had a lot of time today. You don't want to see those running backs going down at all. And then Devon House on the other side looked like friendly fire with a hip injury when safety Sergio Brown came in for a tackle over the middle and kind of kneed him in the side of the hip, it looked like. Those are the three major ones we had marked today. But, Fred, those the running back ones are certainly a little concerning when your top running back, T.J. Yeldon, goes out.
Yeah, JP, they are. Good thing that they have depth there. Toby, he's a guy, he started some in his career, so I'm sure he can handle the load. The blessing in disguise is that they're not worse. They're soft tissue. Hopefully it's just something minor. And Jamal Charles today, that was an ugly injury.
With the Chiefs,
just looking
yes,
at it.
That's right.
So thankfully our guys' situation didn't look quite that major. As his did.
Yeah, I'm looking.
So hopefully, he'll bounce back and be ready for the Texans.
Excuse me, Fred. I just looking at Tony Baselli answering a question on Twitter about Corey Grant. Right? Why was Corey Grant in there in that situation? Well, you had Pierce was hurt. You had Yeldon in and out with the groin, and you had Toby Gerhardt who failed to pick up a blitz or at least stop a blitzing cornerback on a play that got his quarterback hit. So, get it. That's it. That's what you had, right? You didn't have much in way of an option at that point.
Denard Robinson's hurt right now,
Denard
too.
Robinson's
right,
hurt,
right. And, you know, and they always say next man up. And, you know, maybe it's oversight or maybe it's, you know, a product of Toby not being in there, missing that blitz, because he's a veteran guy. He knows his protection well as anyone. He's a big back that can get it done. But if the coaches see that in those sort of situations, they're going to put the guys in there that they're most comfortable with. And unfortunately, the young guy, Corey Grant, he fumbled in a very, you know, it's extremely important part of the game where he fumbled because the Bucs didn't look back. So it's unfortunate. Got to get those guys in the training room, out of the training room, and ready for the Texans.
A couple other guys to watch next week. Paul Posluszny, of course. What's his status coming off the ankle injury? And Sendarek Marks, who is closer than he has been this week, could be even closer to getting back on the field next week against Houston. We'll come back in a moment. Final thoughts from Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey after the Jags fall 38-31 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame, 38-31. Buccaneers over the Jags. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. A couple of notes coming out of the reporting in the aftermath of the game today. Ryan O'Halloran of the Times Union tweeting that Gus Bradley said Grant was in the game on the fumble because there had a package of plays for him, not because Yeldon was hurt. A couple of other things. Roy Miller's quote after the game, quote, "If this doesn't shock us, nothing will." So a lot of upset Jaguar folks today. Certainly probably none more than a lot of those guys in that locker room today, Fred, after the 38-31 loss to Tampa Bay. That's where it's got to start this week, is inside those walls.
It has to start with each guy, JP. Gus said accountability. You know, each person has to be accountable. The entire organization, you know, has to do things better is what, you know, the way Bill Belichick would say it, everyone in the building. And if I were in the building, that goes for me, JP. And I mean, that's just the moral support you need. You know, the guys have to believe in one another. You know, but they can't lie to each other. You know, they have to be to a man, you know, face to face. Look, this is what we got to do. We have to be accountable to each other. But more than that, you have to have a sense of urgency, because the season is slowly, the clock is ticking. You know, and you have a few more weeks to straighten it up. Otherwise, you're going to, I don't want to say dump the season, because those guys aren't going to quit. But I assume you start looking at draft position if you don't get this thing straight in the next couple weeks. So, back to the drawing board. Frustrating losses like this are tough, but it starts with each person, as Gus said.
I think, Fred, too, one of the things that's frustrating is that it seems like there's a different culprit in terms of players or position groups every week. Have you ever – can you remember a season that's been like that for you, when you – 1 week something goes wrong, you correct that, and then you spring a leak somewhere else, and it just seems to go that way?
Oh, yeah, Mike, plenty of times. And, you know, and in the locker room, each guy, you know, everyone's like, come on, you know, let's just do it. Let's just gel together. And everyone is always saying, you know, we're going to get it right. My bad. Well, that can get a little bit overrated and, you know, very irritable as the season goes, if it's the same guy. So, you know, guys have to just do their job. You know, that would be the message. If I were in Gus's position, do your job. Focus on doing your job 110% at 100 miles an hour. You know, good things will happen to us. You can't look over and try and do someone else's job. Do your job. That's the only way to get back or get on the winning track.
Don't look now, but here come the Houston Texans to Everbank Field next week. Fred, what do you know about Houston this year?
You know, I thought Houston would be a team that would be, you know, a lot more demanding on defense. You know, I don't think that defense has lived up to the hype. You know, signing Vince Wilfork, bringing him in there, and the DN out of South Carolina.
Clowney.
Yeah, so with those guys and Watt, you know, and Cushing, he's back in there. You know, I thought they would have a pretty good set. Arian Foster, get him back blue. Brian Hoyer starting to pass the ball. He's a guy that played well in Cleveland, and he's familiar with Coach Billy O'Brien's system. So I thought Houston would be a team to beat in this, well, not a team to beat, but one of the top teams in the AFC South this year. They hadn't really shown that they're that team. So it's the opportunity for the Jags to get back on a winning track this week. Got to get the tight ends involved. That would be my little whisper.
The tight ends from Fred Taylor. The tight ends. Get them involved. Fred, well done as always, my man. We'll talk to you next week before the Jags face the Texans here at Everbank.
All right, JP, I appreciate it. Mike, been good, man.
All right, buddy, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Fred Taylor with us on Jaguars postgame. Guess what, Mike? If you're listening in Jacksonville, the phone lines are open. 1-800-355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. The Scoreboard Show is next on our flagship station here in Jacksonville, 1010XL. I'll talk to you in just a moment on that program.
Yeah, by the way, the phone lines are open for you if you happen to be on a bus heading back from Tampa. There are probably a lot of folks doing that right now.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be a tough week. Jags got to dig somewhere and find something to move forward against the Houston Texans this Sunday at Everbank Field. The Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio is Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are the producers. And for Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good afternoon. Final score again for the final time in Tampa. The Buccaneers 38, Jaguars 31 on the Jaguars Radio Network.